The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Forgetting to start the hottest quarterback in the league, Josh Allen? Not smart. Using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
Welcome to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. I have no idea what happened yesterday. My name is Field Yates, Matthew Berry, and star Fania Bell there as well. Does either of you have any idea what took place during Week 15 of the NFL season? You do? Oh, you do.
No, you did not. Say that on, you did not me, call this bad football week. The only good thing that happens is the 49ers won.
Really? That's the only thing good?
That was the only good thing.
Wow. That was a surprise, too.
I know.
The 49ers beat the Red Hawks.
Except for I did pick them.
Well done by you.
I know. It was not any great insight. It was just because.
Where'd you have Kalen Ballage ranked this week?
Oh, thank you. I don't think he was.
Oh, yeah. That's what this week is. Yeah. Kalen Ballage week. Kalen Ballage coming out party. And he's not going back in. Make no mistake. That's right. Only took us 15 weeks. Kalen Ballage, baby.
You've been saying his name. You knew it was coming.
You know what it was? Yeah. By the way, feel free to tag at Mike Clay NFL, the biggest Kalen Ballage hater in the universe. It was a Ballage barrage. Oh, snap. Yes,
you
it was.
Did you think about that one all night? Like, were you sitting there as Kalen Ballage is running 75 yards?
Matthew was
just.
Do you like this one?
Feverish.
This one.
I tweeted that when he did it. But yes. Yeah. Ballage barrage. Oh, yeah, baby.
How many people replied asking you to delete your account for that one?
I don't know.
Because I'll do it for you.
Right. There you go. I don't come. It's cute that you think I read
dimensions. I like that you get your IFB in. We're struggling there. Everybody can see Matthew trying to get his earpiece in. We've only been in a pre-prod meeting for hours before this, and you're just now getting it together.
You know what?
And it's like around the chair. You're going to move, and it's going to yank out of the thing.
No,
like,
it's fine.
No, no. It's
fine,
really not.
Hey, Luna, can you take just a tight shot of me here on the Twitter? Thank you. I have a response to Stefania Bell, and I'd like just a close shot of me, if you can do that real quickly.
America doesn't want a close shot.
Luna, if you can just do that. Yeah, come on. I'm waiting. No. I'm sure you got a single of it.
Yeah. Hey, while we're waiting for this, let me ask you guys a real quick question. Do you think that Stefania Bell getting a zero in Pigskin Pick'em this week is because she didn't input her picks or because she literally got all of them wrong?
Listen, There's no right answer because, look, she's either Princeton's either too dumb to remember to put in her picks or she went 0 for the whole thing. Like, there's no good answer for Stefania, but
I did pick
now that there's a close up of me, Stefania, I just would like to respond to your meanness there. You know what I say to Stefania Bell? Whatevs. Whatevs!
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
So I put out on the Twitter there, Field Yates, that I felt like we needed something for what happened this weekend. The Fant Popocalypse, the Sunday where fantasy went to die, the weekend with no points.
Right.
What do we have? You know, Blake tweets out Sunday, Bloody Sunday. Thought that was pretty good.
Not bad. Shout out to you, too.
I
thought my response was decent.
Jeff Lambert, The Great Regression. I thought that was pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Not bad right there.
I like that one.
That one's pretty good. Yeah. And Field tweets Week 15 of the NFL season.
Pretty vanilla.
Factually accurate.
Yeah.
What I tweeted back at Field was, Stefan, you've seen like Forrest Gump, right?
I have.
Right.
Yes.
So that's what Field is like. Hi, my name is Field Yates. People call me Field Yates. Like, that's this guy over here.
That's true.
Football time. Let's get to the football. Thursday night, the Chargers beat the Chiefs 29-28, one of the most enjoyable regular season finishes of the year, with the Chargers going for two in the closing moments of that game. The biggest news here, though, Stefania, on the Chargers side, is Keenan Allen left this game after exactly zero catches with a hip issue.
Yep, it is a hip pointer. It's one of the rare times where sometimes I see something and I go, oh, bet that's what it is, because he sort of had this classic posture. He tried to come back in, if you saw him, and he was sort of holding right kind of at his waistline. So hip pointer is a deep bruise or contusion right where that muscle, right on the top of the pelvis. And bleeding, bruising, super uncomfortable, hard to function, and ultimately he had to come out of the game. Unfortunate for fantasy players. The good news is, depending on how he recovers over the week, has a chance to be back. Obviously, that being on Thursday helped him because it gets a couple extra days. They play on Saturday.
Sure. All right, Matthew, and we saw with Keenan Allen out that Mike Williams stepped up. He stepped up in a major way. 3 total touchdowns, 7 catches, 76 yards. He has 10 touchdowns.
He ran
now
for a
this
touchdown.
Season. He ran for a touchdown.
Right. Friend of the podcast, Big Mike Williams.
We've been waiting for it for quite some time, Matthew. If Keenan Allen sits out next Saturday night, and Stefania said there's a chance he will not sit out. But if he does, which is the wide receiver from the Chargers that you are most interested in?
I mean, it's obviously Mike Williams.
Is it,
you know, listen,
obviously? I don't know. I think the people are saying, like, listen, who had 12 targets? Tyrell Williams did.
Yeah, no, I did. I know he did. But who's most likely to get into the end zone here? Yeah. I think it would be, you asked me the question, I think it's Mike Williams. Fair enough that maybe it's not obviously to your point. There was 12 targets, in a game that where though, in that, this particular game, they had to come back. They had to rally.
Yeah.
And so, my expectation is which one of these guys has the best chance of scoring a touchdown. I think it's Big Mike Williams. Look, they're playing Baltimore. Like, that is not a pushover defense. Now, the game is in Los Angeles, so that'll help. But still, I mean, you know, they defend the deep ball pretty well. So I think you're looking for who's most likely to score a touchdown. You wouldn't feel great about any of them. But there's a chance, Stefania, that they go run heavy here because they might get Melvin Gordon back, right?
I think they will get Melvin Gordon back. Right. You know, Melvin Gordon was very, very close to going. I was, remember on Thursday, I thought he had a really good shot to go. I sort of expected him to play based on how he'd been doing and just, you know, knowing Melvin Gordon's desire to get back out on the field. But we knew they were going to put him through pregame warmups, and a source close to the situation told me that it literally came down to that moment of deciding, and really not an easy decision. But part of it was looking at the situation, you know, they need him these next 2 weeks. Yeah. And there was no denying that an extra 10 days would help him, or 9 days as it were. But with the advantage of having that extra time off and resting this game, they're going to be in good shape with him going forward, I believe.
Okay.
When you say source close to the situation, is like your source like his thigh, like, you know, like, or like his ankle, because it's his knee, right?
It's amazing. So I can communicate with body parts.
Right. I'm just curious. What?
Not everyone knows that I have that skill set.
Listen, Starfine.
But what's amazing is with the
you.
Advent of technology, you know, it's kind of hard to audio communicate with body parts. But now that we have things like FaceTime and I can see them. Yeah, much better.
Ring. Hey, it's me, Melvin Gordon's thigh. Stefania, that you? Hello.
If he is
me,
out,
the right
way,
thigh.
If Melvin and his thigh are both out again on Saturday night, we think it'll be more of Justin Jackson, who had 16 rushes, 58 yards, and a touchdown. Though the early word is actually that Austin Eckler could return on Saturday night. So the reality on Justin Jackson is probably this: you needed him for 1 week. He delivered for 1 week. He played well on Thursday. Ez did, another fill-in running back, because Damian Williams got the perhaps spot start, perhaps now the permanent start for the Chiefs going forward, as he had 10 rushes for 49 yards and 2 touchdowns, plus 6 receptions for 74 yards, 30.3 fantasy points for Damian Williams. I think the question's probably this, Matthew, is let's say that Spencer Ware does return in week 16. What week is it? Week 16.
Sure.
Like, doesn't it feel like Damian Williams is going to have to stick around?
Yeah, I mean, but I think it's going to be more of a traditional... I think it's going to be more of a traditional running back split here, which is that assuming full health for Spencer Ware, and Stefania, you'll tell me whether or not I should assume full health for Spencer Ware, but just to answer your question directly, Field, is what I would imagine that assuming full health for Spencer Ware, he's the early down back. He's the first and second down guy. He's the short yardage guy. He's the goal line guy. And you've got Damian Williams in hurry up offenses and in 2 minute drills on third down. He's more of the pass catcher. And so, yeah, I would agree with you. And so I could see them doing also a thing where it's like, you know, Spencer Ware gets 2 series and Damian Williams gets 1, something like that. My expectation is that they prefer Spencer Ware. He's been in the system longer. They like him. But there's no question. Damian Williams performed well last Thursday night, and I don't think he just goes into mothballs.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, Spencer Ware hasn't played particularly well when he got the chance.
Well,
Damian Williams kicked tail, and Spencer Ware is still hurt, by the way.
I mean, the hamstring's what kept him out, and he didn't practice at all last week. So it's not like you even have a clue about whether he could go because he hasn't done anything in practice yet.
He has not practiced yet. Tyreek Hill barely practiced last week, and he looked like a guy that was hurt on Thursday night.
Hurt.
4 for 46 was his final tally, Stefania. -5 rushing yards on 3 attempts.
I mean, he's another one where the extra time now this week. So obviously it was a stretch. He was questionable coming into that game, able to do very little, and you knew he was going to be uncomfortable. Now he gets the extra time, so I have a feeling he'll look better this week than he did last.
Much needed for that, that is for sure. Let's move to the Saturday night games, Thursday to Saturday to Sunday, and now to Monday. On Saturday, the Texans win a relatively close game against the Jets. 29-22 is the final. It was the DeAndre Hopkins show. 10 for 170 with two touchdowns.
Especially at the end.
He was unbelievable.
Real.
But Stefania, his cohort on the offensive side of the ball, Lamar Miller, left this game very early after just 3 carries for 8 yards. What do we know about that ankle, knee,
It's his ankle, and it didn't look that serious at the time, but obviously he was unable to continue. I don't think the Texans believe it to be serious, but this is one of those... Let's see how he does across the course of the week. I would not be surprised if it comes down to late in the week before we have a clue on this. But if Lamar Miller doesn't go, you know who they got in the pipeline that could see their first action of the season? Deontay Foreman.
Deontay Foreman, that's right. Now, I'd be sort of curious, though. You know, like, I still do believe that Alfred Blue is the next man up here. So,
oh,
if Lamar Miller
I think
sits,
he is, but yeah. I think those would be your two guys if Lamar Miller doesn't go.
But the fact is you're saying you think Foreman is healthy enough that he would be active and playing in this game. They're at Philadelphia. It's not a matchup that you feel great about.
Yeah.
It's not a matchup that scares you, but like if it's a committee between Blue and Foreman, I would agree with you. Blue would be the only guy I would consider playing, and he would just be more of a desperation flex than anything else.
Sure. No, I agree with you on that. And, beyond-
and by the way, there's a chance that Lamar Miller comes back and play, and it doesn't matter because, I mean, with his .8, he was part of the many big names that were started this week and did absolutely nothing for you. I mean, you know, you think about Keenan Allen, you think about Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce had Philip Rivers and Patrick Mahomes all had lower games that we're not used to from them. I mean, they were fine in the grand scheme of things,
Philip Lindsay struggled this week. Lamar Miller got hurt. Keenan Allen got hurt, obviously.
I was just talking about the people we'd gone to the game so far, but yes, coming up, Lindsay and Chubb.
Names. Yeah, definitely. Well, Chubb was fine. We'll talk about him in just a minute, but Lamar Miller, 3 for 8. We'll see if he plays in week 16. Demaryius Thomas, 6 for 59. Daniel's asking, is he the dice roll guy for the weekend? I don't know. He's kind of just been fine for the Texans. Doesn't get me really inspired to play.
He's whatever.
He's
a wide receiver 4.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. The Jets, it was actually a good offensive night for the Jets in the grand scheme of things. Sam Darnold looked sharp. 253 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 35 rushing yards for a nearly 22-point effort. Robbie Anderson, another big game after – that's consecutive good games.
Yeah, definitely gotten Robbie a little Anderson. Healthier for Robbie Anderson, too, if you just look at his
– And Sam
days.
Arnold back, right? Sam Darnold. Sam Arnold. Sam Darnold back, which, and there was a connection there earlier in the year.
Yeah, and he looked good, did Darnold, did Anderson as well. But I think the player that anybody is actually considering utilizing right now from the Jets is Eli Maguire. Isaiah Crowell went on injured reserve, and it wasn't the prettiest effort for Maguire, but over the past 2 weeks, he now has 35 carries. He has 6 catches. On Saturday night, he got you 14.1 fantasy points,
found the end zone.
Running backs are hard to find, Matthew. He's a flex consideration.
He absolutely is. He's now scored and had 20 or more touches in 2 consecutive games. He's had 3 or more catches in 4 of 6 games here. And so, volume is king. And look, you're not impressed by 18 for 42, which is what he did against the Texans. But at home against Green Bay, it's not a defense that scares you to run the ball. And so if you're telling me I've got a running back that's going to catch passes and get 20 touches, very much on the flex radar, especially at home against the Packers.
All right. The Browns win a thrilling game on Saturday night, 17-16. Good on you, Cleveland. Although I do believe they're now officially eliminated from the playoffs, this team has made major strides under Greg Williams. They're now 6-7-1.
Not cool, Browns. Keith. Do you want Greg Williams to stay as head coach? You're a Cleveland Browns fan.
Too early to say.
It's a diplomatic answer.
I
think he's done an amazing job, and I think they've done a great job galvanizing that team and keeping them together. But I don't like to be a prisoner of the moment.
Yeah, agreed on that. Well,
look at you. Very eloquently said.
Well, I will just say this. If you don't like to be a prisoner of the moment, I have no idea why you're working on this podcast. because
this no, that podcast makes him is, just a plain prisoner.
Just a plain prisoner. Okay,
there's just a lot of moments.
Right, a lot of moments. There's like it feels like there's an hour's worth of moments every single day where you're a prisoner. It seems like an odd choice of career, but all right, fair enough.
Yeah. Defense was a story for the Browns on Saturday night. They did a very good job of containing whatever is left of the Broncos' receiving core. In terms of the scoring for the Browns on Saturday, Breshad Perriman and Antonio Callaway scored touchdowns, which helped
Breshad
exactly
Perriman,
nobody.
Just who you planned on.
Yep. It was Nick Chubb, 20 rushes for 100 yards. That's a good football game. It's just not a great fantasy game. Jarvis Landry,
and he had a big run called back because of a stupid Greg Robinson penalty, and like could have been an even bigger day. It's, you know, finally took a while to get going. He got a bunch of yardage on one of the last drives of the game here. But I know a lot of people are wondering, will there be a stat correction? Because he lost yardage on, I think, the last run, and so he's right at 100. Which where there's a lot of leagues where you get a bonus for 100
points.
Like, could he go to 99 yards? So I know a lot of people will be watching that very, very closely. Disappointing game here for Jarvis Landry, especially in a game in which no Chris Harris, a team that's really struggled against the slot without him, that came into this game as the worst pass defense in the NFL over the last 4 weeks. And then Landry just, you know, he got the targets, but just 3 for 37 on 8 targets.
And David Njoku also disappoints. 3 for 30 for him. Never, that's one player that of all the Browns that have kind of found something over the past handful of weeks, David Njoku still really hasn't found something yet. There's still hope, but more of a 2019 focus than anything for the 2018 playoffs.
Yeah, they're at home in week 7. They're home next week to Cincinnati.
So. Broncos are a tough watch on offense. That much is for sure. Case Keenum throws for 257 with 2 touchdowns. But Philip Lindsay, the player you were hopeful for, had just 8.4 fantasy points, 14 rushes for 24 yards and 4 catches for 20 yards. Another disappointment in a week 15.
Oh, I mean, look, I'm in a playoff game where my starting running backs were, where my two starting running backs were Lindsay and Chubb.
Do you win?
I am.
Sorry.
No. Well, I also have Kamara as my flex, so I am down. I need 25 points from Alvin Kamara tonight to win. So
you also need
it's PPR.
Alvin Kamara. More importantly, if Alvin Kamara has more total yards tonight than Christian McCaffrey, you and Stefania will be just one game back in red zone. Meanwhile, if Christian McCaffrey has more combined yards than Alvin Kamara tonight, your boy has a 3-game lead as opposed to a 1-game lead going into week 16, which for red zone is the final week of
the
season.
It's the final week. Wow.
Let's go, Alvin Kamara.
Let's go, Alvin Kamara. Come on.
By the way, Alvin Kamara, if you're watching, because I'm sure you are, you will also, by having a good game, help me have a lead over Daniel in the championship of our
championship.
IBM league. That's right.
2-week playoffs in that one
like
here.
That.
I mean, you guys know
Daniel
I love
Dot.
Christian McCaffrey. He was,
he's been amazing.
My flag player.
Quite frankly, he's helped everyone so many
in
weeks.
In a week where all the leagues where I have McCaffrey have been decided I don't need him tonight. I do need Kamara. I need Breeze, Kamara, and Michael Thomas in a variety of leagues to win a couple of different playoff matchups. So, listen, if ever there was a weak Saints, look, we've seen a lot of big name players falter. Yeah. It feels like maybe Christian McCaffrey, maybe tonight.
Come on, Saints.
Who that?
Let Ian Thomas beat you.
Yeah. Let Ian Thomas beat you.
Ian Thomas beat you. Totally on board with Ian Thomas.
I need just 2.1 points tonight.
Curtis Samuel.
Stay undefeated in all of my leagues for the entire
season. Oh my gosh, whatever.
Like, I don't even know why I play.
I will say this. Matthew and I did a bit last year with Alvin Kamara about not tweeting at players based on their fantasy performance.
Correct.
If Alvin Kamara gets 25 points tonight, I am absolutely going to tweet at him. I take back everything that I said.
Don't be that guy.
We love Alvin Kamara. So please, I need 25 points from Alvin Kamara.
We'll love you even more than we already love you.
Deshaun Hamilton had a team-high 12 targets, 7 catches for 46 yards after a 7 catch for 47 yards performance the week before. That one included the touchdown. But it feels like if you're starting a Denver Broncos wide receiver, he's the one. Cortland Sutton looks banged up. He had 5 for 42 on 6 targets. Tim Patrick had 8 targets. Hamilton feels like if he had to choose one, though, he might be the guy. Least amount of big play upside, but when you're throwing to the slot, it's the easiest throw
Correct.
To convert on.
And then you think about Case Keenum as your quarterback, and this is the Emmanuel Sanders role. So I think the floor, if you're sort of handicapping them going forward, I agree with you. I think the floor is the highest for Deshaun Hamilton. The upside probably still highest for Cortland Sutton.
He was rumbling, stumbling, and bumbling into the end zone. Kalen Ballage of the Miami Dolphins.
It was a Ballage barrage.
Ballage barrage. Mike Clay told you about him all the way back in April. Mike Clay was all over this guy during the summer saying he could be the next big thing in Miami running backs.
Here's what's weird is I don't know if that's more of an insult to me or Mike Clay, because Mike Clay just hates Kalen Ballage with a fiery passion. We'll talk about this tomorrow. But like him and I went back and forth on Twitter, and he even like, and I took him to task for this, and I've said this to his face, and I've said this to his face on Twitter. I've said this to his face in studio and just as friends. But like, I couldn't believe, like, cause he did a bus column in the beginning of the year.
Right.
And he listed Kalen Ballage, and I was just like, and there are other people in the fantasy industry that also had Kalen Ballage as a bust. And I'm like, he's a third string rookie running back. Like, he's not even being drafted. How are you saying he's a bust? Like, if you want to take a stand and say Kenyon Drake is a bust, who was like one of my big busts this year. Like, take a stand. Like, not, Kalen Ballage was a deep sleeper for me as a guy that like, you know, you could draft in the last round that I thought there was a chance for fantasy relevancy because I thought he had the size and speed combination that if he could get on the field would be very dangerous. The problem is that Frank Gore has been, well, you know, the ageless Frank Gore once again, and Kalen Ballage could not get in the field until yesterday, but then Stefania, Frank Gore leaves with an injury.
This was the worst part of my day.
Right.
Was watching Frank Gore, who has been...
We all love Frank Gore.
I know, but be honest.
But you love him the most.
49er, longtime 49er fan, graduate of the U. Like, Frank Gore's
Frank
my
Gore's
people.
Your guy.
And to see... I don't know if you saw this, but he was clearly hurt. He had assistants on the field, and then he kind of shrugged them off and limped. It took everything he could do to walk, but he's such a tough guy. He wanted to show he was tough, and then ultimately gets carted to the locker room. No obvious fracture on x-rays, having an MRI today to rule out, not to rule out, but more to examine the extent of the injury, a foot sprain. These can be problematic, obviously can be multi-week injuries. We just don't know what he's dealing with yet, but I think it's probably safe to start planning on not having Frank Gore this week.
Which means Field
First
Gates.
First missed game, by the way, that would be since 2010.
I mean, Frank Gore is just an unbelievable player, an unbelievable person from everyone I've ever talked to that knows him. I've never met the man, but, you know, so you always hate to see that. I thought this was interesting, but it just goes to show you how they view Kenyon Drake. Kalen Ballage, it truly was a barrage, touched the ball on 6 straight plays in the second quarter. I mean, they were down 21-7. I mean, it's not like it was, you know, out of hand. And of course, you know, he also gets the 75-yard touchdown run. And so, Field, I'm just curious where Kalen Ballage will rank, assuming that we've seen the last of Frank Gore this season.
Right.
Where will Kalen Ballage rank on the free agent fines column?
It's a weirdly reasonable number of good pickups this week.
Right.
In week 16 of the season. Cause there are guys like Eli McGuire. We'll talk more about
Jamal Williams.
Right. Mike Williams.
Yeah.
But Ballage is on the list, you know, because the Dolphins are reticent to hand the football off to Kenyon Drake.
Yeah.
One rush this past week for Kenyon Drake. So yes, Ballage is on the radar. Not a great matchup in either of the past.
They think he is a big play guy, a passing down specialist. They don't want to give him a huge workload, which by the way is one of the reasons why he was on my bus list, you know, coming into the season. And like, he's managed to return value because he's scored at a higher rate than I think any of us expected him to, but he certainly hasn't gotten the volume. His usage has been sort of, you know, very inconsistent for the workhorse back that he was drafted to be. He hasn't gotten a ton of work, and you've been lucky in that, you know what, at the end of a game he gets a 55-yard touchdown, or he has like 3 big plays, and that's part of his makeup. I mean, like, he's a big play guy. He was a big play guy in college. He's been a big play guy in the pros, but that was one of the reasons why I was concerned about him coming into the year, Kenyon Drake, is because I didn't believe Adam Gase when he said he wanted him to be the workhorse, and sure enough, he hasn't been the workhorse.
For the Vikings, all of a sudden they got back on track offensively. I have no idea what changed, but they looked really good yesterday. I kid. Of course, they did make an offensive coordinator switch on Tuesday morning where John DeFilippo was out and Kevin Stefanski was in. The net result, and maybe this is a sample size error, but at least yesterday it looked dramatically better, in part because Dalvin Cook was the focal point.
Running.
20 touches.
And you know, this is the thing, is we haven't seen Dalvin Cook because we saw what happened when he was doing too much too soon early on. And then there was sort of navigating what could you expect from Dalvin Cook when he was returning. And now we've got a healthy Dalvin Cook who comes back and then isn't able to showcase much because they're not running the ball.
Yep.
And I felt like yesterday in week 15 was sort of the next best opportunity to see a healthy Dalvin Cook since the start of the year.
Last 5 games, here's his touch count. 12, 13, 17, 18, and then 20 this past Sunday. Look, one of the things that also helped is they were at home against a bad opponent.
Right.
I mean, like, you know, like, let's not, let's not, oh, the offense coordinator change. I mean, obviously maybe that helped a little bit and they tried some different things, but he was at home against the Dolphins as opposed to on the road at Seattle. That helps.
Right. They also,
there's no doubt, but he was given more opportunity.
He was given more opportunity. They stormed out of the gates. It was 21-0 before you even blinked. And then they kind of went into a lull for half the game. It got competitive again. It was 24-17 before you realized
Kalen Balazs.
They were dealing with a barrage.
Not little.
Also, a Minkah Fitzpatrick interception return, but it was mostly good for the Vikings in real football. But for fantasy, Adam Thielen, dude, 2 for 19. This is like a few duds for Adam Thielen over the past few weeks. What's going on? Is there something wrong with Adam Thielen or defense is paying too much attention to him?
Three of his four worst weeks this year have come in December. His two lowest target counts this year have come in the past 2 weeks.
So it's Kirk Cousins' fault.
No, I mean, in the fantasy playoffs, he's got 89 yards and zero touchdowns. I mean, this is a guy that was the number one wide receiver in fantasy for much of the year, Field. And look, unless in one of my other leagues, I mean, like, I should pull it up. It's unbelievable. I have one league where I'm undefeated. I'm literally undefeated, right?
And
literally undefeated. And like Nick Chubb was a running back for me. Like Edelman, I played against a guy like started Galladay. Anyway, unless
Kyle wants to know if it's your four team league against Beth and your twin daughters.
No, stop it. No, it's a home league. It's a friend league. It's a league with friends. It's a 10 team league. But I crushed the draft. Whatever.
It's a 10-team league with Beth, his two daughters, and then five other people from his daughter's preschool. It's a home league, though, guys.
Matthew against the puppets from the fantasy show. He just takes credit for each team.
So I have my running backs were Chubb and Samuels, Thomas, Thielen, Kittle.
We are, but we're enjoying it. Keep going.
I basically need.
Tell us what you need to beat these 6-year-olds, Matthew. Please let us know.
It's a real league. Whatever. Sure, it's a 6-year-old. So in order to beat the 6-year-olds, they're 7. In order to beat the 7-year-olds.
It's one of the teams you use in Mock Draft Monday that you stumbled upon it. Yeah. No one actually plays lineup each week.
Exactly. I'm
undefeated. The point was this is a team that's absolutely crushed all season long, and like Kittle's my tight end, Thielen and Thomas are my wide receivers. I basically need Drew Brees and Michael Thomas to outscore Christian McCaffrey and Graham Gano by 15 points. So I'm down 15. Guy I'm playing has McCaffrey and Gano. I have Brees and Thomas. It's a 6 points per touchdown pass league. But yes, I mean, I should have been, it's an unbelievable team, but Thielen, Kittle, it was just Nick Chubb. It's just one of those games where, what are you going to do? In terms of, to answer your question here about Adam Thielen.
What was the question?
You know what? Whatever. Do I have to do this show anymore? Can I just quit? Can I go play with my puppets? That's the only thing. Let's see.
The other members of the league.
Yeah. That's who I like. Exactly. That's who I like. I don't. You guys done?
Are you done? Because you just keep delivering. It just keeps. You keep buying us gifts.
Hey, allow me to interject real quickly here with one bit of, I guess, levity.
Levity.
Yeah. It says, Cooley Kid 319 says, Matthew is like a substitute teacher trying to corral a class of high schoolers.
Thank you very much.
That is true.
That's right. Field actually looks like a high schooler. I am trying to, because I think a lot of our audience has had the exact same experience, whether they're undefeated or not, which is where they had a really good team that completely just stunk up the joint this past weekend. And this was the best example I had of all my teams in terms of, like, I had every big name player that disappointed this week. We'll see what Drew Brees and Michael Thomas do tonight. But Adam Thielen, of course, was one of the pieces of it. And look, I think part of it is the fact that Kirk Cousins threw only 21 passes in this game.
Yep.
So there was low volume here. And, you know, they had Diggs and they threw a touchdown to Aldrick Robinson. And when Dalvin Cook is going as good as he is, there is. Look, you would expect him to be better next week if you manage to survive at Detroit. You would expect Darius Slay to be on Stephon Diggs. And so the Lions don't play the slot particularly well. but certainly whatever confidence you've had in Adam Thielen, you know, certainly is very shaky.
Agreed on that. No, I totally, getting back to seriousness, over the past six games, he has had 55 yards per game after eight straight 100 plus yard games to begin the season. I think defense are just the reality of, the NFL season is long, and we are seeing a lot of teams, whether it's the Rams who are being somewhat slowed down, the Saints who are being somewhat slowed down. Like, you're seeing teams that were foolproof for the first half or even longer of the season that are no longer nearly as effective. Matthew, please tell us about SeatGeek.
Before I do that, I'm going to tell you the team that I played, this undefeated team. Because, no, I'm going to do it. Because you know what? You guys are like, oh, it's a four-team league or everything like that. It's a 10-team league. But still, the team I played was real. Big Ben, Zeke, Christian McCaffrey's got going tonight. Kenny Galladay, started Golden Tate, Vance McDonald, Juju, Redskins defense, and then he's got Gano. Like, that's a real team. That's a real team. It's a real league. So just so you know.
I believe it.
No, I don't feel like you do, but I feel like my impunity
it
is
really good. You could put that together, that pass. Yeah.
Well, it's like I'll show you the league, Star Fania Bell.
I just want to see how long I can make this.
But here's
go.
The thing.
Because it's like, so easy. Fun.
I have
remember
to defend
that
it.
Bit on the fantasy show where you were like with the fishing in the stream?
Oh, yeah.
This is like, you know,
I feel like
what
I
do you call fish in a barrel? Fish in a bucket? Yeah. Getting
I feel
Matthew
like
to... I have.
I feel like. I feel
league.
Like I have to. I feel like I have to defend it
in a barrel,
and really dial down on it to distract from the fact that I'm not undefeated in the league that I play with the kids. So,
the kids are kicking.
Yeah.
You know what?
I'm in the playoffs in that league, but that one's not looking good at the moment. So
let's hear about SeatGeek, and then we'll get back on track.
Yeah. Okay, SeatGeek. So let's say you're like me. Let's say you're like a young Matty Berry, right? And you're
undefeated.
You're a young Matthew Berry stuck in a job with a bunch of coworkers you can't stand, right? And all you want to do is you're like, oh, this is brutal. Can I just get out of here? And all I want to do is I want to go to the game tonight. I want to go to the Panthers game tonight and root on my little Alvin Kamara and root against Christian McCaffrey. I need Drew Brees and Michael Thomas. You're feeling all this stuff. So what do? You go online, you go to SeatGeek and get yourself some tickets, because getting tickets online honestly can be far too complicated for people like small brains. With hundreds of sites and varying levels of reliability, it's hard to know who to trust. SeatGeek, of course, pulls millions of tickets into one place so you can easily find the seats you want for a price you're willing to play. Nothing quite like being there in person. So, like, if you wanted to go to Carolina and see the game tonight between the Panthers and the Saints, the Monday Night Football game in person, you could easily do that with SeatGeek. Here's what they do. Because they've designed it to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. They search multiple ticket sites. They grade every ticket based on value. As a result, SeatGeek helps you immediately identify the best seats to fit your budget. Every purchase fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. So, you guys know I've used the SeatGeek app, had good experiences with it as well, and you too can as well for less than it would cost, because the listeners of this podcast get $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase. That's right. You download the SeatGeek app. You enter the promo code FFF today. Again, promo code FFF. That gets you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets.
Moving along here to the Buccaneers and the Ravens. The Ravens win this one 20-12. Largely disappointing day for the Bucs in fantasy. Peyton Barber runs for 85 yards and a touchdown. Mike Evans actually made it work, though. 4 for 121. The problem is he had 121 of the 157 Jameis Winston passing yards. It was just dreary and wet and gross in this game yesterday, which is part of the reason why Adam Humphries, 4 for 23. Cameron Brait, 1 for 9. Chris Godwin, 0 for 0. A bagel in the afternoon for Chris Godwin. I think a lot of this game, Matthew, has to be chalked up to two things. One, the Ravens are really good. And two, this weather was just, I mean, it was not.
It was very rainy and nasty and everything like that. You know, you sort of.
No one's wearing gloves. One of those days. You know?
One of those days there. Nice to see Mike Evans put up these numbers, but certainly not efficient. You know, you mentioned the 121 yards, 4 for 121 on 9 targets. I mean, Jameis was off in this one again. To your point, bad weather, good defense, but I think you sort of rushed by Peyton Barber here. I think this is kind of interesting. You know, he's not got a rushing touchdown in 4 of the last 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
He's had 20 or more touches in 3 of the last 5 games. He's got 5 different games this season with 18 or more carries. Feels like Peyton Barber very quietly, similar to what he did towards the end of last year, is kind of coming into his RB2 own.
We're going to finish the season. He's going to be like RB18. We're going to be like, what?
Yeah.
No one ever got excited about Peyton Barber, and here he is finishing the season with a very respectable stat line.
But you know, listen,
it's not always pretty.
No,
and it's rarely pretty.
When we talk about it with Kenyon Drake, too, half the battle is just showing up to work every week. And so the fact that Peyton Barber has played every week, just, you know, the volume, like on a points per game basis, he's not highly up there. He's not really involved in the passing game all that much. But again, you know, on the road at Dallas, a Dallas team that just got run all over by the Colts, look, there's no upside there. But as flex plays go and you're sort of sifting through whatever you got left as you're sitting there in week 16, I do think Peyton Barber, better than you probably realize.
Yeah, plug him in into the flex spot. Feel okay about it because it's probably going to pay off for you.
There's a level of volume there that you feel like you got a shot at paying off.
For Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, another win. That's good for Lamar, who actually had an okay fantasy day, 95 rushing yards, continuing to do what he does. Perhaps a surprise here yesterday. Not really a surprise, I guess, but perhaps the most encouraging part was that Gus Edwards played well, because none of the receivers really did anything. Willie Snead goes 5 for 58, John Brown 1 for 9, Crabtree doesn't make the box score. But Gus Edwards had a Gus Edwards day, right? 19 carries, 104 yards, a touchdown, zero targets in the passing game. So you know what they are. Like, he is a touchdown-dependent flex play. Lamar Jackson is a low-end, you know, he's like a middle-of-the-road QB2.
Yeah, I think that's right. But
and you can't play anybody else.
Right. I think what you like about both those guys is there's a floor there. This is what we talked about coming into the game.
Sure.
We talked about it on Fantasy Football Now that because they've become so run heavy, in games in which they're not going to get blown out, there is a floor there for Jackson and Edwards. And so it depends a little bit on sort of how lucky do you feel, because they're on the road at the Chargers next week. But, you know, Gus Edwards is averaging 19 carries a game over his last five.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. He's had 20 carries or a touchdown in four of the past five, and yet one catch. He's got one catch all year long.
One catch. Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, he has as defined of a role as you can find right now. And Baltimore obviously wants to play their game. And when your defense is that good, even when you're playing superior opponents, which they will this Saturday night against the Chargers, you can kind of stick with the script. So those guys will probably be locked into those usual spots as we get into our week 16 rankings.
And by the way, once again, Ravens won this game. They're going to head to the Chargers. Their starting quarterback going to be Lamar Jackson. I know there were people that questioned me when I was just talking about, like, hey, I think we've seen Joe Flacco's last game as a starting quarterback for the Ravens, and that will continue in week 16. Lamar Jackson will get the start. Kenneth Dixon here, I don't know that there's much he can do with Kenneth Dixon. Not involved in the passing game as much as you would have thought, probably because he didn't need to, but still got 12 touches in this game and looks good.
The only thing Kenneth Dixon does is it takes a little bit of value away from Gus Edwards.
Yeah,
you'd love to see. But, you know, teams had to keep a player fresh, and Dixon a little bit more versatile, as you just noted. The Bears lose a win 24-17. They are now NFC North division champions. Congratulations to them. Quite the accomplishment. For the Packers, this game was defined by an injury early to Aaron Jones. Stefania, that knee injury, not what you're looking for the player at all. He has been so good this year.
And injured early, as you mentioned. I think it was late in the first quarter when he got caught up in a pile. It's his right knee. Now, he told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel afterward that he believes it's an MCL. He missed a game, two games last year with a similar injury. And he's probably, you know, we say, when should you believe a player? But remember, he's being evaluated on the sideline in the tent, and they're talking to him. So I believe by the time he's talking to a reporter, he has a pretty good idea from what the medical staff has shared with him, what they think is going on. And then they do, of course, further evaluation if they need to on Monday. So I would expect that you should be making plans as if there will be no Aaron Jones.
This is Mike McCarthy's fault. It's obviously. This is obvious. I don't know how or way, but this is obviously Mike McCarthy's fault. Ask anyone on Twitter.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Aaron Jones would be healthy if it not for Mike McCarthy.
Two games left. Packers eliminated from the playoffs. I would imagine there's a very good chance that we don't see Aaron Jones the rest of the way, which opens up the can of Jamal Williams' worms. Williams had 19.7 fantasy points yesterday. Now, he was bad to begin the season, but Jamal Williams has a sample size of him actually playing well as a starter, and right now, like, Ty Montgomery's gone. If Aaron Jones is out, like, Jamal Williams is the guy in this offense. He would be a legitimate Adam and potentially, and play him this weekend running back.
He'll be a top 20 play on the road at the Jets on Sunday, again, assuming Aaron Jones is out, because just the volume will be key. And, you know, 16 touches in this game, and this was a game in which, of course, you know, Aaron Jones got a little bit of run as well. So you know, Jamal Williams could get up to 20 touches, you know, in a in a good matchup against the Jets.
He had a stretch last year, weeks 12 to 14.
Correct.
He had 5 total touchdowns and over 400 total yards, including close to 230 on the ground and 140 through the air. So he's a capable, at times, player, and the opportunity is certainly there for him.
You're banking on – he's fine. You're banking on volume and just his role in theory, good offense.
Yep.
It is an offense that, look, you know, Aaron doesn't look like him. You know, I mean, this was a tough game.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree on that. Aaron Rodgers did not look like himself, but that's probably because the Bears defense is just that good.
And then he also mentioned at the end that his groin tightened up on him a little bit, so he was a little bit gimpy late in the game. I mean, yeah, it's not going well.
Aaron Rodgers, by the way, the first time since 2014, more interceptions than touchdowns in a game. 4 years it's been since he did that. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a tough year for the Packers. It's been certainly a very tough year for Aaron Rodgers and everyone there in Green Bay, except, and this is where I was applauding, just want to take a moment, Davante Adams.
Yeah,
Davante Adams, in a week in which so many big name stars just completely disappeared and disappointed, Davante Adams, 8 for 119 on 13 targets, 21 fantasy points here, on the road at Chicago with his quarterback not playing well, tough matchup, everything around him. And so everyone else that just, like, you know, whether they left the game because of injury, Keenan Allen, they didn't play this week, Odell Beckham, they just didn't do anything. There were a lot of big name wide receivers, you know, Amari Cooper, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
Davante Adams showed up. So kudos to you, Davante Adams. We appreciate you.
I would wonder if he is not perhaps one of the most, if not the most consistent. Because all year, regardless of the quarterback, regardless of the matchup, regardless of who they're playing on the road or at home, he has delivered fantasy numbers as consistently as anyone I can think of.
Double-digit points in every game this season. Now the number one scoring wide receiver on the year. For the Bears, they didn't need a lot of offense yesterday because they got
Adams.
Some short field, some advantageous spots for them. But here were the players that contributed most. Jordan Howard found the end zone, as did Tariq Cohen. Both of them got you over 14 points. Mitch Trubisky was fine yesterday, 20 of 28. He had 2 touchdown passes, 1 to Tariq Cohen, 1 to Trey Burton. But for the Bears, right now, in terms, as great as they are fantasy-wise, and they are real life-wise, they are unbelievable. They're 10-4, and they look like a team that could do some serious damage in the playoffs. The two most startable pieces on this roster are Tariq Cohen and the defense. Other than that, right now, like, you don't have a lot of faith in anybody in this offense. Trey Burton found the end zone yesterday. He had been quiet previously. And Allen Robinson, despite playing, had just 54 receiving yards. Taylor Gabriel, 3 for 33. Like, not a lot of consistent fantasy production from anybody on this offense that you want to trust other than Tariq Cohen.
Well, yeah, and you know what's interesting is, for as good a team as this is, and this team won the NFC North, they're the division champions. I put up a really great photo on Instagram congratulating them. You guys should check it out. People, it's like over 2,000 likes at this point, Field. I know you were very complimentary of my photo on Instagram congratulating the Bears.
That got over 2,000 likes?
Yeah.
Sympathy likes. Wow. Yeah,
stop it. People love that photo. Field was trolling me because that's all Field does. Do you ever talk to Chapin, or does all your free time just go to trolling me on social media?
No, the problem is, I don't have to dedicate that much time. The problem is, you see yourself, like, you serve it up in a silver platter. Like, seriously.
That's a good photo. How many likes is that up to?
2,302 likes. Matthew.
The fact that you applaud your own
Field to troll you. Field Yates was sitting here making fun of that picture, and yet people love that picture. At least 2,300 people love that picture.
When somebody hits the like button, it doesn't necessarily mean that they like it. It just means they want to mark it as like, oh, this got my attention.
Look, Matthew, if it wasn't for sympathy, I wouldn't be married. So let's listen. I probably wouldn't have a career either. So like, that's a very important emotion for me. Let's be very honest about that. I'm okay with sympathy. I will absolutely take sympathy. I'll take sympathy likes. I don't care.
Okay,
I'm not proud because you know what? When other people look at that photo, they're like, I don't know what Stefania's motivation was for liking it, whether she felt bad for me or whether she genuinely liked it. The fact of the matter is like, 2,300 likes, 2,300 likes.
You'll take it. Barry.
Fields said it was worse than the beignet photo.
No, it wasn't worse, but it was like in the same ballpark.
Oh, now you I took
just, a,
Excuse me. Well, I'm going to just take a second to go look up this photo.
Well, just because what it was we have this big screen and the NFC champs, and I didn't want to just put congrats Bears. So I tried to take a picture of it, and there was like some moving images, but it was only up there for 1 second on the photo screen. And I was just like, should I put it up or not? I'm like, whatever. The point is the same. It's like NFC North champions. It was like the only thing that I could, as opposed to like stealing some image from the web or whatever. That was my thought process that I went through, which was about 10 seconds long.
Now we know how Matthew makes the most electric Instagram account on the internet. We're taking a quick break and coming right back.
You'll see. Go ahead, see it. You'll see. People will like it. Matthew Berry TMR on Instagram.
You're in the whole 6010. Fantasy Focus.
All right, guys, and now it's time for a quick message from the ZipRecruiter smartest fan of the week. Hold yourself together until we're done, Stefania.
My name is Zach Kynes. I'm the ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week. I want to give a shout out to the Michael Thomas Division of the Fantasy Life Bowl and our commissioner and taking one for the team, going last place, even though I drafted Le'Veon Bell number one. Now back to you.
There you have it right
that
there.
That is
good
the ultimate
stuff.
Sacrifice as a commish. Way to That's go, right. Zach.
No doubt about that. The Rams.
I've now seen this photo.
Yeah?
I am
pretty
worse
sweet.
I'm worse for having seen it.
You know what?
I mean... It's a blurry picture, and you chose to continue to put it in.
What does it say there?
NFC North champion.
Oh, so you can read it. Yeah. So apparently it's not that blurry.
But it's
you
like
can read
the
it.
Only thing clear in it is like the lens of a random photographer who's working.
Who cares? It says congrats NFC North champion.
Okay. Yeah, and you never
you
would have seen
point.
That anywhere else. Got
just,
it.
I'm just
We're
saying.
Field.
Real quickly, just before we move on to whatever the next game is, I will just say this about the Bears, is that Tariq Cohen, for as good as the Bears are, The only fantasy option that you feel good about is Tariq Cohen. And I think Trubisky. I mean, Trubisky finished as a top six fantasy quarterback this
sure,
week
yeah,
going into Monday night.
Fine, right? Like he's
or
a little
five,
bit
top
five.
A
little bit inconsistent, though. So, like, you feel fine about him. I don't think you feel great about Trubisky every week because he's been, you know, hurt and bad for the past month or so.
This is true, but I mean, you know, this particular week, outscored Wilson, Rivers, Mahomes,
sure,
Cousins.
Sure, I understand. My point is like going forward for the final 2 weeks. Like I don't think people are saying like, yes, I have to start Mitch Trubisky. Oh. Whereas Tariq Cohen is the most startable player mm-hmm. on this roster.
At San Francisco next week, I think Trubisky will make your top 10 would be my suspicion.
He'll be close. He'll be close. Alshon Jeffery might make my top 10 for wide receivers. He was unbelievable last night.
Yeah.
The Eagles seem to be a
Thanks
team that
for
plays
nothing.
Pretty well when the chips are against them, right? Nick Foles, 24 for 31 with 270 passing yards, one interception, no touchdowns, but it was unbelievable. Alshon, 8 for 160 on 8 targets, a lot of vertical shots yesterday, but it's kind of one of those games. It's like, what? Like, what happened?
This was in a shocking weekend
yeah.
of many things that were very surprising, fantasy performances that we didn't expect, both negative and positive.
Sure.
I don't think there is a more shocking result than the Eagles with their backup quarterback and a decimated secondary going into L.A., and that had 10 days
them.
To that had 10 days to prepare, right? I mean, oh, there's a Sunday night game. Sorry. So, but still, going into L.A. and annihilating the Rams. I mean, L.A. made it close at the end, but this was an Eagles game start to finish. And so how poorly Jared Goff played, and we'll talk about the Rams in a second, but this was a shock to me. And, you know, in a game in which Zach Ertz went 3 for 22.
Everything was backwards in this game. Yeah.
Right side up was upside down.
Yeah.
To be honest.
It seriously was. And Stefania, a little bit banged up for Josh Adams coming out of this game.
Yeah, back issue. So he was in and out of the game twice and he got injured early, came back into the game and then left, I believe, in the third quarter and did not return. So all we know is that it's back injury that kept him out. I think he did come back.
He did return
after the second one, but it seemed at that point when you're seeing a guy go in and out twice, you know, this is not, you know, he's definitely not 100%.
Corey Clement already injured reserve, and so it became the Wendell Smallwood show here. I mean, just, you
Down
know.
The end
just,
zone twice. How about right. that?
Yeah. I mean, just again, like.
What did anybody, was anybody starting Wendell Smallwood?
No, of course
no.
not.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. Like,
you know,
it serviced.
And they're home to Houston next week, and so we'll see what Josh Adams. But if Josh Adams, if this injury is a little bit more significant than we think, and again, no Corey Clement, then Wendell Smallwood would suddenly be very viable. I mean, so Wendell Smallwood would be very viable even against in a tough matchup against the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, and this Philly offense seems to find a way. Like this team plays its best when people are when they are underdogs, right? That's what they seem to do particularly well in Philadelphia We'll see what happens next Sunday. A very difficult game against the Texans, but I wouldn't be surprised if Philly takes care of his business.
After going into LA and beating the Rams the way they did, nothing would surprise me about the Eagles.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you think about that Week 17 game at Washington. Potentially for a playoff
spot.
How about
that? That would be amazing.
I mean, it
makes no sense.
It makes no sense at all.
My
Redskins should be dead, and they're not.
If I were the Chargers, I'd be writing a petition. Like, how is that possible that we, with what we just did and our record, are fighting for a spot, and somebody amongst these crappy teams is going to get a spot?
Yeah.
For the Rams, Todd Gurley.
Life is unfair, Stefania.
It is.
Sometimes you're stuck on a podcast with people you don't like, but it is what it is. It just, life is unfair. It just leads you that way. Just to put one random example out of the air.
I now understand.
If you woke up this morning, you're totally fine with what Todd Gurley did. He got you 34.4 fantasy points, but this offense was not running at full capacity at all. Gurley found the end zone twice on the ground. He had 10 catches, most of them of the dump off variety for 76 yards. Robert Woods also delivers 7 for 74. Josh Reynolds was fine, 5 for 70, but Jared Goff, what a disappointment. Like, is probably as disappointing as any player, perhaps, during the fantasy playoffs.
It's weird.
Look, not surprisingly, given how upside down all of fantasy was. You know, look, I had a bad week on Love Hate. There's no question about that. And one of them was clearly Jared Goff, who I think I had as my number two quarterback coming into the week.
Well, you weren't alone on that part.
No, I mean,
I had him right there, too.
Right. I mean, so I Jared Goff throughout, and I tweeted something like this, but Jared Goff prior to last night, averaged 27 fantasy points per game at home, best in the NFL. He had had only one game at home under 21 points. We think about the Eagles, who were allowing 60 fantasy points to opposing wide receivers on the road. You know, their secondary, I think the third most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks when they were on the road. Like, everything sort of lined up here for Jared Goff, in theory, to have a good game, but that's why they play the games. Jared Goff does not look right field, and you know, look, they took some shots. I guess if there's a positive on Josh Reynolds, it's like he got some end zone looks. Feels like they were all from like 25 yards out.
Yeah, in the first half they sure were.
And the other thing here about Gurley, Stefania, he leaves the game,
yeah.
And there was reports, Michelle Tafoya, reporting how they had him in a knee brace for a little bit.
Well, you could see on the sideline that he had a wrap. It wasn't exactly clear what was going on. He did come back in. I mean,
he did not look right.
And he definitely wasn't doing as much. You know, it was sort of like he was there, but he wasn't what you saw in the first half.
It would be prudent to consider rostering John Kelly this week if you have Tucker. Just in case. We're not trying to sound the alarm yet, but just in case.
And by the way, they've got the NFC West. I mean, obviously there's other things to play for, but you're being smart. Again, business decision theme of with the postseason in mind. So, kind of see what he does as the week goes on.
John Kelly is someone you must roster. And I'm curious, Thirsty Kyle, maybe you can figure this out. But if the Saints win tonight, do they clinch home field throughout?
Nope.
They do not. They need to win.
Maybe they do now. Let's see. They do not. Because the Saints could still go 12-4. The Rams could still go 13-3.
Okay.
So Rams still have a lot to play for.
They have a lot to play for.
And not only that, even if it's they don't get the number one seed, they're in danger of losing the number two seed because of losing to the Bears last week. So I don't think anybody will be resting players in week 16. Much is sure, and maybe not week 17.
All that said, though, there's a chance that if the Saints win tonight and then the Saints win again tomorrow, and we'll see, they play at Arizona. Is there a chance in week 17 their playoff fate is sealed, that the Rams know, like, we're locked into the three, we're locked into the two, whatever. We'll see how this all plays.
Unlikely that they're locked into anything because of the fact that the Bears are keeping pace and they would, the Bears would win a head-to-head. So it's unlikely.
Correct.
So
we will see, but to Stefania's point, there's a chance maybe they sit Gurley, or maybe in a game against Arizona, if they get up big, they rest him in the second half. For those of you who play in that ESPN Standard Leagues where the championships go in week 16 and 17.
Right.
There's a chance that you don't see Gurley in week 17. Anyway, just roster John
I don't
John
think
Kelly.
There's a chance that I don't think there's a chance that Todd Gurley will sit in week 17. What I'm trying to tell you is that they basically are going to have to play for something over each of the next 2 weeks unless the Bears crater. So
right. But
it's the Saints you need to be worried about.
Yeah,
week 17.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that, and I think this is what Stefania's saying, is that even if there's, quote, something to play for, they may sit here and say, like, if we're going to make a Super Bowl run, we need a healthy Todd Gurley. Let's take a week, maybe against Arizona or San Francisco. We think we can beat those teams without Todd Gurley. let's be prudent here and look for a longer term view.
That is what I was saying.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there you go. I speak Stefania.
Okay, you speak Stefania. That's good. Let's continue to speak fantasy as we move along to the Raiders and the Bengals. Not the most exciting game of the weekend, that's for sure. Doug Martin, Jared Cook both struggled. The two players
some of us watched Jaguars Redskins. This was a barn burner.
That's a good
Bengals
point,
Raiders was a barn burner.
Doug Martin, 9 for 39. He was in a good spot. He did not deliver. Jared Cook, 2 for 23, also in a good spot because he's a good player. He did not deliver. That's it for the Raiders. I mean, like, the only player you're consistently starting is Jared Cook. And they didn't deliver yesterday. A tough game, but the Raiders are 3-11 for a reason, dude. That's what happens. Every once in a while, they bone you. Like the Bengals.
Yeah, no, I mean, right. I thought Doug Martin would play well here, but you know they got in close, and instead they did a play action, and Lee Smith catches a touchdown. Lee Smith ends up finishing as a tight end one catch for a touchdown,
1 yard. That's, a touchdown. I mean, that's all it takes sometimes, man.
So Doug Martin gets vultured out of a touchdown there, so. What are you going to do? I agree with you. Jared Cook, the only guy you can trust, and that's in quotes.
Exactly in quotes. The Texans. The Bengals have one stud player. It's Joe Mixon, now fourth in the NFL in rushing. He had 27 fantasy points yesterday. Tyler Boyd was playing well, but then he got injured, Stefania. What do you know about that knee injury with Boyd? Anything yet?
Yeah, sprained his knee. Look, he said afterwards that he expects that he'll be playing in week 16, but this is one of those where I don't know that the player can totally make that call right now. One thing we do know about Cincinnati, when we talk about looking at teams and seeing sort of what their protocols are and how they do things, it's pretty standard if guy's not able to go on Friday, he doesn't play, regardless of how much, like, that always is a big deal with Marvin Lewis. So if Tyler Boyd is not doing much in practice by Friday, then I would consider him out, and I would still make other plans.
Don't think you have much confidence in picking up any Bengals wide receiver if Tyler Boyd sits. Probably just a team to avoid if you can in the championship.
Yes.
The Cardinals get trounced by the Falcons. Yep. Trounced 40-14. The Cardinals look like, to me, the worst team in football, and it's not close. The good news is that DJ and Larry Fitz, if you played them in your playoffs, they were fine for you. DJ gets you 19.1 points, just 3 yards per carry, but he has one long catch, 68 receiving yards yesterday. And Fitz, good on you, man. 7 for 82. If these are the next.
So junk timey. So junk timey, but it still all counts.
Doesn't matter. It all counts.
Absolutely. They are, speaking of junk timey, they're home to the Rams next week. But those are the two guys that you're starting every week and no one else. But you're also starting defenses against them. Now they play the Rams and the Seahawks, so probably those defenses are already rostered in your league, but if for some reason they're not, again, I mean, the Falcons defense was just, you know, they were a streamer that we talked about quite a bit on Fantasy Football Now and on the podcast coming up into the week. And they paid off, obviously.
Sure did.
In a massive way.
Deion Jones had an interception return for a touchdown for the Falcons, who actually looked good. It's about time they looked good. It's been 14 weeks waiting for that one. Matt Ryan, 25 fantasy points yesterday. Tevin Coleman showed up in a major way. 11 for 145 with a touchdown. He was dominant, and it's about time for him because he's 2 weeks away from becoming an NFL free agent. That dude needs to produce. He did yesterday.
I mean, Tevin, like, it feels like this weekend was filled with basically two types of players. Players that, like Adam Thielen, like Jared Cook, like Eric Ebron, like, you know, Keenan Allen, variety of reasons why this all happened, but a bunch of players that basically got you to the promised land, that got you into the tournament, and then didn't show up, that just absolutely crushed you, or players that have long so disappointed, and people that roster them are most likely sitting at home, and then you're just like, oh, where was that? Anyway, I was going to say, in the war room, we were watching it, I don't know if the person wants me to say this, but one of the people that you see on TV regularly has Tevin Coleman, and just, you know, when he broke off a big run, was like, where was that all season? Where was that sitting on my bench? And so, I mean, you know, and Tevin Coleman is just another perfect example of it. Like Doug Baldwin, you know, just these guys that like did nothing all year long. And then all of a sudden, massive game when you were probably already eliminated. So, unfortunate for me, Ito Smith leaves this game with an injury. I'm going to lose that. It looks like I'm going to lose that board bet with you, the Ito Smith, Tevin Coleman board bet. And I certainly lost the board bet to you with Julio Jones.
Julio Jones.
The overrated Julio Jones, right, Daniel?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, don't you give up on that Ito Smith board bet, Matthew. You still got a couple weeks left.
All right. Well, I'm not going to give up here, but Julio Jones, 6 for 82 and a touchdown. That touchdown came against Patrick Peterson.
Unbelievable play. He actually left the game after that. That they said sort of precautionary.
Yeah, but he looked a little, and that was enough, right? That was enough. It was unbelievable.
But it just goes to show. This is why you always start your studs.
The Patriots and the Steelers played a game with just 27 total points. What? Especially after they traded touchdown drives to begin this game.
So
for
weird.
The Patriots, pretty just bad day offensively at work. Edelman delivered 7 for 90 on 11 targets. Chris Hogan had a 63-yard touchdown catch, 2 for 68. Brady gets you 13.2 points. But besides that, like, everybody was disappointing. Josh Gordon 1 for 19. But the real part, the source of consternation here, is the running backs. What do you do now with these running backs? Here's the snap breakdown between James White, Sony Michel, and Rex Burkhead. 24 for James White, 18 for Sony Michel, 16 for Rex Burkhead. James White's under 9 points in 4 of his past 5 games. Honestly, at that point, don't you think, like, are we now at the point where if you're playing a Patriots running back in week 16, it's just who you think has an actual chance to score a touchdown, and you're just guessing at that.
You're guessing.
A little bit. They've got two home games now.
Okay.
Bills and the Jets. And I think you can run on both those teams. You don't feel great about the Bills, but I think you can run on them somewhat. I mean, you know, whatever.
They're much better at home, the Patriots are. They're 6-0 at home, 3-5 on the road.
And their point differential is much, much more significant at home as well. So the fact that both these games are going to be at Gillette Stadium, for me, I feel like I'd be okay with Sony Michel as an RB2, hoping that James Devlin doesn't vulture
the touchdown. Yeah.
But we are absolutely, field to your point, we are a long way away from
play them all.
Sony Michel and James White, both top 10 plays this week. It's a, you know, you love all of them. Honestly, the only, and it's shocking to say this, but the only Patriot you feel good about would be Julian Edelman.
Yeah. That's it.
Because of volume.
Yep.
Because of volume there. I mean, you know, we had this question come up on Fantasy Football Now where somebody tweeted at us, Josh Gordon or Tyler Boyd. And I chose Tyler Boyd, and there was some dissension on the set as to some others that thought Josh Gordon would be the call there. Ended up working out. I mean, he ends up leaving, but that just goes to, you know, but it just goes to show that the people that thought Josh Gordon should have been the call were absolutely right in their analysis, which is just, you know, and the fact that they just two targets. I mean, what a weird game. The offense looks broken, Field.
It certainly did yesterday, and it was okay the week before against Miami, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Gronk went crazy. But yesterday it looked broken in a very good matchup against the Steelers. It did not look at all like the Patriots that we are accustomed to seeing in December. They've got some work ahead of them, and they need some help now from the Eagles if they want any chance at a top two seed in the AFC. For the Steelers.
And then you also think, by the way, because again, their home road splits have been so stark this year. So if they don't get a bye, they're on the road at least in the second round.
Yeah. From a bigger picture standpoint, not fantasy specific, but from a bigger picture standpoint, they're going to make it deep. It's going to take a shift in ability on the road because they have not been good away from Gillette Stadium.
Yeah.
The Steelers yesterday, if you told me the Steelers are going to be limited to 89 combined yards from Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown, I'd say no way they win that game.
Yeah.
And they won that game yesterday in part because Jalen Samuels ran great, 19 for 142. The reality is, though, Stefania, it's probably the last time he'll be a starter because James Conner seems to be trending in the right direction for week 16.
He is. I still think it's early.
Okay.
You know, he's only had one limited practice session. And even though the Steelers didn't rule him out initially, called him doubtful. He went from questionable to doubtful to out for the game. And so I think there was some optimism that was encouraged by his presence at practice, but especially with high ankle sprains, it's always when they start getting, it's the nitty gritty, right? You get into the higher level activity. Sometimes a guy looks really, really good. You start demanding more of it. And it's like, oh, whoa, I still can't go on that ankle. So, I would not assume yet that he's an automatic for this week, but, you're certainly encouraged.
Well, but you have to feel like the Jalen Samuels gets at least some, I mean, like after what he's done so far, right? He's been nothing short of terrific. 19 for 142 in this game. I mean, he really put the Steelers on his back and surprisingly wasn't that involved in the passing game. I mean, what we talked on Fantasy Football Now was that I thought, they would take away Brown and Smith-Schuster and give up the underneath stuff, but they ended up just giving up the running and they ran. Game flow worked, or, you know, game script worked in the Steelers' favor as well, because they were trying to, you know, run out the clock there, towards the end on that last drive. But,
Key win for Pittsburgh.
Huge win for Pittsburgh. Next week they're at the Saints. That'll be a great game to watch. But you have to feel like, that Jalen Samuels has played himself into at least some sort of role. I mean, the Steelers usually go with one back.
I know,
but
that's the only thing. So dedicated to one back.
But James Conner coming off the injury, you know, I would obviously rank James Conner, you know, pretty high, assuming he's active next week. But I don't think I'd rank him as high as I would have before the emergence of Jalen Samuels. And I don't think Jalen Samuels will be sort of, you know, running back, high-end running back 4, low-end running back 3 range. You know,
yeah,
that, like, I think
that's fair.
I think there's a chance he gets 8-10 touches, maybe.
He certainly has earned it based off how he's played over these past two games. The Lions and the Bills had a game, I think, yesterday. 14-13 was the final. The Bills get their 5th win of the season. For the Lions, there was one player who proved fantasy relevant yesterday. It was Kenny Golladay, who had an amazing game. 7 for 146 on 8 targets. The problem is, like, he had been regressing.
Yeah.
He had been the player that we were saying, like, oh, man, the confidence is fading.
3 for 50 2 weeks ago. 2 for 5. Last week.
Yeah.
Yesterday, 7 for 146.
He just texted me, Stefania, you wanted me to say, what up, Doe? Just want to make sure that you know that, all right?
What up, Doe?
Somebody had Kenny Golladay on their bench in a game against that guy.
Daniel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, what's it like to be on a podcast with annoying people, Stefania? I have no idea what that's like. Tell me, can you explain that to me? What's the feeling going through you right now? To your point, though, here, Star Fania Bell, this was the 4th time this season that Kenny Galladay's point total was 11 or more points different, for better or for worse, than the game prior. So, I mean, it's just so up and down, so yo-yo, so fantasy whack-a-mole, if you will, right? I mean, different times where he's had an 11-point difference between the previous week, whether it was 11 points more or 11 points less. It's just, he's sort of all over the place, and, you know, he played well in this game, and Stafford didn't stink enough to, you know, Stafford was able to get him the ball.
But this is a really irrelevant fantasy game in a lot of ways. The Bills had about 12 running backs get injured. LeSean McCoy was not active for this game.
Right.
Neither was Chris Ivory, despite being a full participant in practice.
So clearly it was not, it was not an injury thing that kept him out, because he certainly made a case for being able to play.
And Marcus Murphy started the game for the Bills. Then he got hurt, which left Keith Ford as the next man up. Then Ford briefly got hurt as well. Nobody is left to play running back for the Bills. You probably aren't going to be trusting anybody.
Murphy dislocated his elbow.
Unless LeSean McCoy returns, it's going to be difficult to, you know, trust any Bills running back.
But Josh Allen now has a rushing touchdown in 3 of his last 4.
40 rushes over his past 4 games.
Yeah.
At least 18 fantasy points over the past 4 games.
Like, and we haven't done the numbers, but I would bet, Thirsty Kyle, you can look this up real quickly if you want. I would bet over the last 4 weeks, given his 19.8 fantasy point performance here.
Top 5 QB?
Oh, I think he's the number 1 quarterback in fantasy.
It's
over
close.
The last 4
I would
weeks.
Think it's very close if he's not
he
the number 1.
He was the number 1 in quarterback in fantasy the last 3 weeks coming into this game. And so, especially given how bad everyone was at quarterback this week. I mean, I'm looking at some of the people that were ahead of him. Matt Ryan, Deshaun Watson, Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
You know, just under Josh Allen, Trubisky, Russell Wilson, Philip Rivers, Mahomes at 18. I would bet he's either 1 or 2. He's number 1. Over the last 4 weeks, he's the number 1 quarterback in fantasy.
I love you, Josh Allen.
I do want to say this really quickly. I just talked to Keith. Fred Jackson is available in a number of leagues if you want to go out.
I love Fred Jackson. One of my faves.
You think Fred Jackson plays?
Maybe.
Yeah, that guy's a gamer.
Kenneth Davis might vulture him at the goal line, though.
Yeah. What did you say earlier? Oh, you were talking about Peerless Price.
Peerless
Price. That's Robert Foster, baby.
So many good references.
Peerless Price.
Robert Foster, by the way, at his third time in 4 games with 94 or more receiving yards. He is a big play waiting to happen. Here's the reality. When you have a quarterback like Josh Allen who could throw it a mile, you're going to take some shots. He did that on Sunday. Foster found the end zone up over 100 yards. The Bills are in a total youth movement. But, you know, Robert Foster is one of those players that if you're playing him week 16 in the championship, it's like, hey, I'm probably the underdog. I'm going to need all my players to hit home runs. Foster might swing and miss, but that's okay, because he also might go off for 105 yards and a touchdown. That's how you would be playing Robert Foster.
You know, they're at New England next week. I mean, you would, in theory, you would think they're going to have to throw to try to keep up. with New England. But Josh Allen is absolutely, by hook or by crook, he is absolutely a thing. Before we move on here, Field, to the next game, I know you want to get to it, but real quickly, two pieces of breaking news have happened while we've been talking. I've got my alerts on the Fantasy Life app.
Frank.
ESPN Radio, breaking news.
Frank Gore is not going to play again this year. That, according to Adam Schefter, he sprained his ankle yesterday. So obviously with 2 weeks left, even an injury that might not cost him that much time if it took place in week 5 can land you on injured reserve. So no surprise there. And we talked about that earlier on the show, what it means for Kalen Ballage. And Nick Foles will remain the starter for Philadelphia for at least one more week. They play the Texans, and the Eagles are now week to week here and a chance for to make the playoffs still. Nick Foles will start again under center.
Which makes it maybe gives us maybe some more confidence in Alshon Jeffrey.
After what we saw last night, hard to disagree with that. The Cowboys got blanked 23-0. Dak, Mari Cooper give you nada yesterday. Dak,
how about them Colts?
6.2
Come on, Tarika. How about them Colts?
I have two words for Cowboys fans all week.
What do you got?
23-0.
Ooh, how about them Colts?
Ooh, how about ooh, that?
How about them Colts?
23-0. Amari Cooper, 4 for 32, 1 rush for 11 yards. Disappointing day. Nobody for the Cowboys. Zeke Elliott was the closest thing to delivering. He had 17.8 points. So that's good enough. I mean, good enough in a game where they got nothing going offensively. The Colts, though, completely dominated this game in part because they pushed the Cowboys around up front. Marlon Mack, 27 for 139. Nice, 2 touchdowns yesterday. He was phenomenal. T.Y. Hilton gutted through that injury. 5 for 85 on 8 targets. Not a monster day, but good to see him out there. Andrew Luck had less than 10 fantasy points, but Marlon Mack was really all they needed yesterday in this convincing win.
Let's talk about T.Y. Hilton 2 weeks in a row being a game time decision because of legit injuries that could have sidelined him.
Yep.
I mean, he is rarely a come down to game time decision kind of guy. Still double digit fantasy points both weeks.
Yep. So this Colts team very much in play for a playoff spot, by the way.
So, hey, real quickly, I just want to mention about Marlon Mack, which was really surprising, and a couple of different things to mention here. First off, in terms of when you read the love hate list, like Marlon Mack was on the hate list. But I write those Wednesday morning. So, I mean, you know, it's always like figuring, you know, this is why we always encourage you to watch the podcast, to watch Fantasy Football Now, to check out the rankings. And certainly I didn't expect this. But the fact of the matter is that turning in the column before practice reports came out, this was exciting that, you know, Ryan Kelly, their center, came back in this game. And shout out to Pat Thorman, our friend Pat, who pointed this out on Twitter as well. But with Ryan Kelly, their starting center, in the lineup, Marlon Mack is a much different person. Their Colts running game, much different. With Ryan Kelly as a starter. So weeks 2, week 6 through 11, week 15. Remember, Marlon Mack obviously didn't play every week there. But in those weeks, with Ryan Kelly, Marlon Mack, 6 rushing touchdowns, 5 yards per carry, 17.6 fantasy points per game. Without him, in weeks 12 through 14, 3.9 yards per carry, just 1 rushing touchdown, averaged 8.4 fantasy points per game. So I just think in terms of like, hey, do we expect this to continue? Do we expect this to going forward? It is absolutely a thing. And so at home against the Giants next week, Marlon Mack showing back up.
Good to see Ryan Kelly back for the Colts. Yes. A few more games to get to here. Derrick Henry and the Titans continue to roll along. They blanked the Giants 17-0 yesterday. Derrick Henry is going to win a lot of people, a lot of championships. 33 rushes, 170 yards, 2 touchdowns. Here's the key. They're winning big. They can continue to utilize Derrick Henry, and he dominated the snaps yesterday. 47 compared to just 22 for Deion Lewis. Guys, I know it's unsustainable in some ways, but good on Derrick Henry. He's getting opportunities, making the most of them. At this point, far be it for us to tell you, do not play Derrick Henry. He's been too good.
Well, and I think, you know, we talked about him on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday morning. We talked about him a little bit last week, and that prior to that 4-touchdown game, and not that we expected that, but prior to that 4-touchdown game, he had scored, I think, in 5 of 7, 5 of the previous 7. Yes, 5 of the previous 7.
5 touchdowns in 6 games.
Right. So that'd be 5 of the previous 6.
Yes. That's what I said. 5 of 6. Wait, I'm understanding.
He has now scored.
He scored 5 times.
Going into that 4-touchdown game.
I'm just saying what Kyle is saying next to me.
Oh, good God. Just give it to Kyle.
He's got 5 touchdowns in his last 6 games.
I just said that.
Prior
prior to the four touchdown game.
But he had a multi-touchdown game. So he didn't score in 5 of 6. He scored 5 touchdowns
in 6 games. Understood. Exactly. But
see?
He had 5 touchdowns in 6
Kyle,
games.
By the way.
So they were using him in using him in goal line packages, and so then he has the 4 touchdown game. And so look, I didn't expect him to have the most rushes of any running back in the NFL this season. He had 33 on Sunday against the Giants field. But I did expect him to, you know, we ranked him as a flex play. I did expect him to earn more time after that 4 touchdown game, and he was all they needed. And so, you know, in a home game next week on Saturday against my Redskins, my suddenly not dead Redskins.
Sure.
Derrick Henry, you know, borderline RB2, high end flex, like, you know, actually sure. Out-touched Deion Lewis in this one, played more snaps. Twice as many snaps as Deion Lewis?
No, listen, all the signs are trending in the right way in a game you expect them to have the lead again. We expect Derrick Henry to once again be busy. For the Giants.
Two first names, always a crowd pleaser.
Saquon Barkley.
And that was why Corey Davis did nothing. They didn't need to. They just kept running it with Derrick Henry and the Giants just didn't show up.
The first egg all year for Saquon Barkley. He was under 15 carries. He had just 9.6 fantasy points. He got 10 targets, but this game was just a disaster. In every single way for the New York Giants. No Odell Beckham Jr. in this game, of course. Eli Manning throws for 229, but really no receiver stands out. Evan Ingram had had a good game. 8 catches for 75 yards, but that was it from the Giants offense.
Add him to the Doug Baldwin list of, oh, thanks for nothing.
Right.
Thank you. You know, it's finally showing up here. Sterling Shepard gets 9 targets. You would have thought without no Odell Beckham in a game in which they were trailing, he could have done something. Just Eli was bad.
Yeah, the Giants, by the way, are saying they're not going to shut down Odell Beckham Jr. this season. They're going to let him try to get healthy enough to potentially play on Sunday when they play the Indianapolis Colts, I believe it is week 17, week 16. I believe that's right. The Colts and the Giants.
They're at the Colts this week, and then they're home to the Cowboys in week 17.
Really nothing to see here in this Jaguars-Redskins game. Just congratulations. I'll tell you what, the Redskins fighting hard right now. They are fighting hard, and congratulations to Josh Johnson, who's had one of the most tipsy-turvy, non-linear versions of making his way to the NFL as a starter.
To yet another team, but maybe that's a skill set that you acquire after going to multiple places. It's like, I know I got to pick this up quickly, you know, creatively through playing men, but he gets everybody on board and rallies them to a win. It's impressive.
Listen, and look, it wasn't always pretty, but, you know, behind a decimated offensive line on the road at Jacksonville, it's an NFL win, and I believe it was his first win as an NFL starting quarterback.
It was his first ever win as an NFL quarterback. That's great. As a starter. Yep.
And it was his first start since 2011.
Sure.
Just a great story. Just happy for the kid. And like, you may have seen the video of him just like once Hopkins made the game winning field goal on the ground, just, you know, pounding the ground in happiness, you know, and just kind of tears of joy. And so, but yeah, not much to see.
And how about the Jaguars though? Leonard Fournette's a second year player who's missed a ton of time because of injuries, and they're giving reps to other running backs yesterday, including David Williams, you know, to evaluate. Leonard Fournette was the 4th overall pick in the draft.
Guys.
Like, are you going to build around anything? It's Leonard Fournette. The Jaguars are a disaster. It looks like a team that gave up on this season a long time ago.
I mean,
it's hard to even
so
discuss.
Leonard Fournette, their number 4 overall pick 1 year.
Yep.
Is they're using rarely.
Yep.
Right? Whereas their 3rd overall pick, Blake Bortles, right? I believe he was the number 3 pick overall. The year he is sitting on the bench behind Cody Kessler.
It's such a joke. This team is just a disaster.
I finally snapped
a streak of picking in the top 5, and here they are, bound for the top 5 again in the draft.
I do have to just clean this up really quickly. You said tipsy-turvy to start that game, I believe. It's topsy-turvy.
Tipsy-turvy
is if we did a live look on Stefania on Saturdays. That's what tipsy-turvy would be.
By the way, speaking of tipsy-turvy, I thought we decided we were going to Kathy Lee and Hoda it and start drinking.
No one decided that. You just made it. You made a statement, and you were like, "I'm going to do this." Yeah.
Thirsty Kyle, go buy me booze for tomorrow's show. I'm getting loaded on air tomorrow.
He doesn't have his ID with him, and also he's not over 21.
Kyle, that's what you're sending.
Secret Squirrel, then you do it. Fine, Secret Squirrel can go do it.
We'll do it on Wednesday.
I'm not here on Wednesday.
Oh, that's so unfortunate how that works out. What?
That'd be a lot of fun.
Although on Wednesday I'm committing podultry.
What?
I'm committing podultry.
Where? With who? What?
Mina Kimes. I'm committing pedophilia.
Oh, Nina. He's been waiting all show to drop that and to find a place where he could, and he squeezed it in before
Fields
he got
already
the last
committed
game.
Podultry, right? You did her show last week, I think.
Yeah, but I actually showed up to work for us on Wednesday.
Yeah, well, I don't show up to work
so
on Wednesday.
So now you're trying to make the point that only one of us has not been on the show.
Chris Carson and the Seahawks fall to the 49ers. Here's Stefania.
Right,
that was good
the
news.
Seahawks? Hey, Mina, my 49ers beat your Seahawks.
Overtime
win. Want to talk about it?
Right, there you go.
Overtime win for the 49ers, 26-23 is the final for the Seahawks. A couple of players did show up.
Hang on for one
though.
Second. Would you like to be my third wheel when I go do the Mina Kimes podcast? Would you like
to
do that? You can do that.
I don't
want to
be a third wheel. If I'm not good enough to be invited in my own right, then I'm not good enough.
As producer of the Mina Kimes show, I can definitely make that happen.
There you go, Tarika.
Tarika has
he's got the power.
You and me.
If you want to be my third wheel, by all means, come on.
No,
you want to come on? I'll throw you a pity podcast.
I'm no one's third wheel.
All right.
Let's put a bow on this podcast. Chris Carson runs for 119 yards and a touchdown, 26.8 fantasy points. And Doug Baldwin has best game probably of the season, 4 for 77 with 2 touchdowns. Good to see him finally deliver. Russell Wilson with 19 points continues to be efficient, although he actually threw the ball over 30 times in this game. Just a weird, bizarre day for Seattle. Perhaps a little bit of a trap game there. Looking ahead to hosting Kansas City on Sunday night. Good for the 49ers to get this win. I know some are disappointed in the draft part of it, but that's for another time. But
you know what? And stop with the we shouldn't win so we can get a draft pick. Stop it. And by the way, I trust our front office. They've done pretty good, you know, and they're evaluating that talent right now. And I, by the way, how many number one draft picks are a lock to be the thing? So what?
Yeah,
if
the draft was
in that.
I think the
whole notion of them quitting, though, that's my point. One of the things about the 49ers is they haven't quit on the season despite all the injuries.
I would say in fairness, I think the jury is still out on the front office given the results of the last 2 years. Look, I think there's reason for optimism if you're a 49ers fan. Look, Kyle Shanahan can clearly coach. So I think there's reason for optimism. But I think the jury is still out as to whether or not.
Look, what they went through for years before that, they're going to be given a full opportunity.
There's no question, and I'm not saying they shouldn't be, but I'm saying to say that the front office has really done it. I mean, you know, to quote Bill Parcells, you are what your record is, right?
You can't. Well,
I mean, and they're not good. They're not
context,
a good team.
With context, please, quarterback starting running. I know Fields dying to get this last game out of the way, but I insist on arguing with you.
Okay,
go for it.
I'm just saying, like, they're worse than my Redskins, and my Redskins are a disaster. I mean, we've had many more injuries than you guys. We've lost 2 quarterbacks.
Look at your division. Talking to me. It's terrible.
No argument. We're a disaster. We are a flaming disaster, and yet we're still in the playoff. We're 7-7. We're a 500 team, Stefania. So I just don't. Anyway, whatever. That's fine. Hey, well, let's move on. Let's move on.
For the 49ers, 17 for 50 on the ground for Matt Breida. One tough dude. He also had 46 receiving yards on 5 catches. Really, though, it was a more of a collaborative effort for the 49ers yesterday. As George Kittle had just 51 receiving yards, Dante Pettis got 83, Garrett Celek had the wide
open. Should have had a huge game. Nick Mullins just misses him on what it would have been another 70-yard touchdown. He was wide open and on a seam route. And there were a couple of misplays there. And and Celek, of course, ends up getting the touchdown here. Just, it was tough. But I will say this. I don't know what he's made of. But Matt Breida is not human.
He's tough. No. 42 snaps yesterday, just 11 snaps for Jeff Wilson. So good for you, Matt Breida, man. You continue to be
impressive.
Just rock solid, super steady, super tough. We expect him to continue to be the starter for the last 2 weeks. He may be on the injury report, but there's a good chance he is going to be.
Real quick on this, if Matt Breida did want to know what he was made of, 23andMe could help him figure that out. Just
great.
A quick shout out there.
Up. We'll have a read from then. Do we have a
gift to find?
Yeah,
that's my
nice
SeatGeek.
Not today. Not today. No, I'm just literally
just
saying
general,
if he was curious, 23andMe.
You scared me there because I was like,
everybody
wait a
happy,
second.
Daniel.
You know.
Well done.
Hey, Tarika, is 23andMe a sponsor of the Mina Kimes podcast as well?
23andMe is not a sponsor.
Oh, okay. I was going to say I could invite Stefania on to read that on the Mina Kimes podcast on Wednesday. If you want to do that, you could just sort of pop in.
You
want to
come on guest read a live read with me?
Right. You could just do that. Mina and I mean, I don't want to speak
for
Mina,
but they're going to happen.
I don't want to speak for Mina, but I feel like I feel like between me and Tarika, we could convince Mina to let you do that.
Yeah. We'll
definitely have to be after she gets over this loss,
as they say.
Yeah, we have to after she gets over this loss. What? Yeah, exactly. So there you go. So yeah,
All right. There you have it. We're back tomorrow with the waiver wire ads you need to know, the recap of the Saints and the Panthers and all the implications of that game, plus the latest news. There's tons of it coming. Matthew Berry, Stefania Bell, sorry, Matthew Berry, TMR, and all forms of social media, including the Fantasy Life, except for the Fantasy Life app, where it's just Matthew Berry.
Correct.
He's Stefania B87 and Stefania underscore ESPN on Twitter. I'm at Field Yates. We'll talk to you guys on Tuesday.
Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret squirrel, Daniel Dunn.
Make happen.
Mediocre.